Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We'll get started here, and we're in Psalm 98 today, so let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for a place to meet. We thank you for whether it's cozy, small room, or medium room, or large room, you are there, and we thank you for your presence of your Spirit. And lead us now in this time of worship and in this time of praise and thanksgiving and prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we have these series of praise psalms here. And 96, we were 96, 97, 98, and 100 are very, very similar. So we have in 96, we had a song of praise to God for coming judgment. Psalm 97, a song of praise to the sovereign Lord. And today we have a song of praise for his salvation and judgment. They're very, very similar. But we'll notice in today's psalm, there are a number of past tense verbs, more so than in the previous songs. These are all new songs. We're praying a new song. But we also have a future tense for the second coming. So this psalm today is really emphasizing, get ready for the rapture. Get ready for the rapture. Now, this is the Old Testament presentation of the coming rapture, is what we're really talking about here, because this is old. This is 1,000 years before Christ, right? So it was very prophetic, but we need to be thinking about that as we're thanking the Lord here. And the word joy is over and over in this psalm. It's shout joyfully twice. And by the way, that shout means to split the ears. Ooh. So don't worry about loud if you're praising the Lord. Now, if you're praising Satan, then I don't want it loud. And usually when a car pulls up to you and your whole car shakes from the noise, they're not praising the Lord. And then we have rejoice. That's another, the same root word. And so we have this rejoicing here. And one of the hymns that caught my eye was Henry Van Dyke's Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. This was written in 1907, so it's a little over 100 years old. This is not 300 years old, this is 100 years old. He wrote it, and then he selected the music. That's kind of unusual, because usually different ones write it or whatever. But what did he select? He selected the final movement of Beethoven's Final Symphony. Nice to have every seat filled. You know, whenever you don't show up, whatever seat you would have been in is empty and there's nothing coming out of it. But when you're here, there's something coming out of it. So thank you for being here. But so he chose this final movement of his Final Symphony, the Ninth Symphony. So I don't think Beethoven ended on his worst. And this is just a fantastic song to have with Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. So let me read this psalm and then we'll sing that hymn. So Psalm 98. Think of the rapture now as we say, read this. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has, past tense, he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained, past tense, him the victory. Verse 2, the Lord has, past tense, made known his salvation. His righteousness he has, past tense, revealed in the sight of the nations. He has, past tense, remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. I love that verse, because that takes care of the question about, well, what of the little guy in Aborigine in Africa who's never heard of Jesus? Well, it just so happens, my Bible says the Lord has shown his salvation to the ends of the earth. They have seen it. If the sun came up this morning, they saw creation. Verse 4, shout joyfully. There's a split the ears. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praise. There's the rejoice, another joy root there. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout, there's again, shout joyfully, split the ears before the Lord the King. Do you really praise with joy and vigor, or do you kind of And you might. I mean, I'm not talking about necessarily screaming out in a crowd, but when you're alone, just shout it out. Let the shower walls resound with your singing or whatever, wherever. Now, this is future. Let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Now, I don't know quite what that is. I've never heard rivers clapping hands. I've heard the sound. Some of you mentioned you went to Niagara Falls and so forth. When you hear a waterfall, it's very noisy. I guess you could say it's a continuous sound. I don't know, quite clapping to me is kind of, you know, bang, 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 clapping. But this running over the water does make noise, doesn't it? Yes, it does. And then let the hills be joyful together. You know, this spring, I don't think in Southern California we've ever seen the hills look more joyful for a season when they were so green. Of course, they're turning brown now, and they'll turn very brown. But nevertheless, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. Oh, that's so good. For he is coming. That's future tense. And this is second coming. For he, now listen to this, second coming prophesied 1,000 years before Christ, so this is 3,000 years old. He is coming to judge the earth. I think we need to keep that in the back of our mind. It's easy to talk about the love of God, and it's very, 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 very true, very important and all, but we also have to talk about his justice and his mercy. And the reason you need a Savior is because you're a sinner. And without that, there's no hope for you. Now, if you don't think you're a sinner and don't need a Savior, you're not interested in Jesus Christ. Why would you be interested in a Savior when you don't think you need one? And most of the world doesn't think they need one, right? They're not interested because I'm not a sinner. I'm not like this person on the left or right of me. My, oh my, I can see they're really bad. I'm not a bad sinner. I mean, a little bit, yeah, I cheat on my taxes and I cheat on my wife and I cheat on everything else. But I'm really not really a sinner. I've never sawed anybody's head off or anything, you know, there's a... But here it is. He is coming to judge the earth the second time. Second coming. With righteousness. Listen to this. With righteousness he shall judge the world. That's the thing that most of the world has no concept of. Our God is righteous. You know, he gets blamed for every single thing. You hit your finger with a hammer, it's his fault. You know, you stumble and fall down, it's his fault. You run into illness, it's his fault. You have a storm, it's his fault. But he is righteous, his righteousness, he shall judge the world. Now that is almost impossible to see in today's world, is a righteous judge. Anyway, thank you for being flexible. I mean, you're very flexible. We go from Costa Mesa to Irvine. We go from Irvine one side to the other side. But he is here, right? Now your chairs today, maybe you'll appreciate the big chairs a little more. But I kind of like this coziness, really. Of course, I'm sitting next to some wonderful people here, you know, if I... For he is coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world. The world. That is second coming only. He's not judged the world yet. He did in Noah's time. How many lived? Eight? Gets you pause to wonder a little bit, right? How many were saved in Sodom and Gomorrah? Three? We're not talking about hundreds of thousands of people being saved here, but that was pre-Messiah. We're talking about post-Messiah now. Jesus came to seek and to save, right? And so it's a little different thing. We're fortunate to be in the new covenant, not the old. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the people with equity. I didn't think I would ever appreciate that word these days, because man's equity is all for division and terribleness. Take this nation down, take the Christians down, take the rich people down, make everybody poor, right? That's the equity they're talking about. That's the equity communism was striving to get, and just everybody came to such a low level. But he will judge with equity, or put fairness in there if you want. And this is holy fairness, holy equity. It's not just man's equity. This is his equity. So that's the psalm. We want to sing praise to him for his salvation and his judgment. So let's sing along this song and just open up your hearts to praising him. One more I wonder what Beethoven was thinking when he wrote that. But these are glorious words to put through that movement, are they not? Father, we do thank you that we can joyfully come before you this morning. And Lord, we want our hearts really to burst with praise and adoration. And we want to just so look forward to that second coming, Lord. Help us to have that just uncontainable joy that would just draw so many to you, Lord. They don't need to see another long face. They don't need to have more, oh, how bad things are. That's all they see apart from you. But may they see the joy that is coming forth from each one of us. You've given us another day, another week. This may be the last time we'll meet. We don't know, but one day it will be. And may today be a day of the joy just coming out of us in such a way that is so desirable and so contagious and so inviting to you, and they would just scramble to get to you. They wouldn't run away from you out of guilt and out of shame, so to speak, out of conviction. And I know they need to be convicted, and I know you know right, Lord, so we're not trying to tell you how to do it. We're just saying, may you help us have that joy shining forth to draw people to you. We thank you for this time to pray, and so lead us by your Spirit. If we are led by your Spirit, we'll all be in one accord. And so this little circle here is unending in a way. And so lead us now by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I do thank you for your all-inclusiveness. Christianity is the only all-inclusive religion there's ever been. There's no exclusion. Nobody is excluded. You've done it all. All that man has to do is to receive. And Lord, we thank you that in one way it's a free gift. It's a free gift that it doesn't cost us anything to do what you did for us, but it does cost us in terms of having a commitment to you. It does cost us to leave the old sin behind and to leave the old world behind. And that is not easy for an unbeliever to do. And it's not something that can be done in 5 seconds in one way. And yet you can, even as you knocked Paul to the ground on the road to Damascus. He was not even looking for you. He was fighting you. Far from asking you to reveal yourself, he thought he knew who you were. But you said, you're kicking against the goads. You're kicking against me. And it took really 3 days, it seems like, for him to kind of make some kind of a transformation there. Transformed immediately by saying, Lord, show me what to do. Yes. But then blinded for 3 days. And boy, 3 days blind. Boy, that would give you time to think in a way. And so, Lord, it's a big step for an unbeliever. Help us to remember that. Help us to remember with ourselves. Now, maybe we came in stages and we don't even remember exactly. It went going all the way from black to white, I don't know, in a way, or from lost to found. But you do it, and you will do it, and we just need to pray for that to be done. But help us to let our lives shine with that joy, as we have been saying, Lord. So bring us to prayer now for those that you would have us to pray for, Lord, in Jesus' name. I think it's a good place to sing again. And the miracle we're really talking about is a miracle of life, whether it's 3 months early or 3 months late or happens at all. It's such a miracle. Created in God's image. And yet we know the children of Israel saw miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, but they didn't turn to you. Miracles don't save people, but maybe they can see you through them. And so I so pray for the eternal issues involved in each one of these things we talk about. Yes, for a full life here on earth, whatever that means, whether it's a short term or long term, is really fairly unimportant unless we receive you. And so, Lord, you are using your body of Christ in these all days, and especially in these last days. And so today, kind of a focus on joy. And Lord, maybe after the song, we could pray for individuals as needed. But Lord, let us just joyfully come to you one more time as we would remember what you have done. And we will sing this, what we call a Christmas carol, but it's not really. It is the joy of the second coming. And it's got the music by Handel. So we have two of these great joys, one Beethoven, one Handel here. So let us sing joy to the world. This was now is a 300-year-old one that Isaac Watt wrote. So it has been around a while. But think of again, are you ready for the rapture? The rapture has to come before his second coming is part of it, right? Are you ready? And let us sing this if we may. Let's stand on this one. It's kind of close quarters, but we'll stand if we may. Lord, you're coming. Amen. Second time you've promised. And so, Lord, we know you're right on time. We want to be grateful for all the evil that is coming into this nation and into the world as proof of what happens when we turn our back on you. Things just don't get the same. They don't stay neutral. They go evil. Right. It's either good or it's evil. No in between. For everyone and everybody and every nation. And so, Lord, what does it take to wake us up? You gave us a huge wake-up call on 9/11, and it didn't really change anything at all. We've had so much evil coming in since then. And the only thing that's going to change it is when you come back the second time, I believe. But in the meantime, help us to stand for what is right. And we thank you that the unbeliever is seeing some of the evil to the point where maybe they will turn to you that wouldn't turn under situations of less evil. So we thank you for that. And we thank you for your fairness and your righteousness. You're always going to do it the right way, even though we want to just get rid of the evil. We want just good things to happen. But you know what we need. And what does it take to turn us? That's the question for all of us in a way. But we know you know. So thank you for each one here this morning. I just thank you for them. Bless them.
In Jesus' name, amen.